Hey everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace?
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. With me is Charles W. Bryant. We like to call him Chuck here on Stuff You Should Know, which is what you're listening to. So there you have it. There's the intro, Chuck.
That's nice. Yeah. I'm coffeed up now, so I'm firing on all pistons.
Are you? Yeah, I got the shakes, Chuck. I'm ready to go. Yeah,
let's do it.
Have you you know much about homelessness there, Chuck?
Not really.
Have you ever heard that homelessness really began to take steam in America in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, when states started just shutting down mental institutions?
I have heard that, actually.
And this part is unsubstantiated, but since I say it's a rumor, I'm going to just continue it anyway. How about that?
Sounds good.
Apparently in New York, there was a series of shutdowns in the 80s. Ronald Reagan's often blamed for this, although he didn't have any necessarily direct hand in shutting down mental institutions.
Right.
Not like you're insane, you're out on the street.
Right.
But it was under his administration that a lot of them went under,
sure,
basically. And, you know, you have all these mentally infirm people.
Right.
And now they have nowhere to live. So apparently in the state of New York, they gave them a bus ticket, like $50, and sent them to New York City.
Really?
And the homeless population has just shot through the roof since the 60s.
Right.
And
that
of course,
makes
sense. There was homelessness before. The Great Depression was a big time for homelessness.
Uh-huh.
And hoboism, which is a word I just made up. But it really, really picked up in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And,
right.
And now we have the homeless problem that we have today. And it's this is not to say that, you know, if you're a homeless person, you're mentally unstable. That's not necessarily the case. But the closing down of state institutions,
right,
around the country really had that effect, right?
Right. That's sad. And I do know that, you know, a lot of homeless people are suffering from various forms of mental illness. So
sure,
that kind of makes sense.
Well, they're also expanding the definition of homeless. Homelessness before usually just encompassed somebody who had no home or was staying in a shelter.
Right.
And they expanded it to include people who are living in like weekly motels, staying on other people's couches.
Interesting.
And apparently that just shot the numbers through the roof.
Wow. Yeah, sure.
So apparently in 2007, the estimated number by the National Alliance to End Homelessness for homeless people on the streets was about 671,000 and change, almost 672,000 people, right?
So that doesn't include the college dude crashing on his buddy's couch.
No,
The fish tour.
No.
Okay.
And actually, that's pretty funny that you say that, because I used to have a friend named Hippie Rob who was staying at my house for a really long time, and he would not leave, right?
Right.
You know, and I liked him a lot. He was a good friend, but man,
yeah,
he really knew how to mooch, right?
Sure.
And he was staying on my couch. Finally, one day, I took Hippie Rob to Kmart and said, here's $20, buy a good tent.
Right.
And he bought a tent, and I put him in the car with his tent and drove him to the woods. It was like, see you later. It was a lot like that scene from AI,
uh-huh,
where the mom drops off young David the robot.
Right.
It was less sad, though.
Wow, that's an incredible story.
That is a true story.
He was squatting in your own house.
He was, actually. It's funny that you mentioned squatting, since this the title of this podcast, right?
Do you like that?
So my homeless segue was really intended to serve as a juxtaposition between the number of people homeless on mm-hmm. the streets, which is about 672,000, with the number of vacant housing units in the U.S. that same year,
right?
Which was 16.7 million.
Interesting.
So basically, what we have in this country is a homeless problem with a clear solution. There's vacant houses, and yet people are on the street still.
Right.
So why don't we just move them in to vacant houses?
Right. It would be a little tricky, I guess, but it seems possible.
Actually, there are people who are doing it right now.
Really?
Yeah. There's this group called Take Back the Land down in Miami, and they have been staging basically homeless move-ins into vacant housing down there.
Now, is this new housing or stuff that's been abandoned?
I think it's both.
Okay.
A bank-owned, foreclosed, stuff that's been on the market forever.
Uh-huh.
And Miami apparently just got reamed by the subprime mortgage fallout.
Oh, really?
And there's plenty of houses to go around. Mm-hmm. So these people are just moving them in there. Same with Homes Not Jails.
Right.
Who are basically, their mission is to stop the court system from just jailing homeless people.
Right.
So they're the San Francisco Tenants Union. There's a lot of people out there who are saying, there's an empty house right there. This person is homeless. Whether it's because they are insane.
Right.
Or they're down on their luck.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Basically, it's the distinction between whether or not housing is a basic human right.
Sure.
Is it? Isn't it? Under capitalism? No, it's not. If
right.
you don't have the money, you're on the street, whether this is vacant or not, right?
Right.
So, okay, we're talking about squatting, Chuck.
Yes.
Let's go. Let's give a little background on squatting.
Okay.
Are you going to give a little background on squatting?
Well, sure, Josh.
Can you define squat?
Yes. It's when you actually live in a place or on a parcel of land that's unused.
Or not yours.
Not yours and not used.
Yeah, we should make the distinction, because if you move into a house with a family already living there, you've just committed home invasion and
right.
you're in big trouble.
Right. So it's an empty house, it's not yours, or a piece of land,
yeah.
and you've moved in or camped out on it and stayed there.
Right.
And that means you're squatting.
Right. That is squatting.
Yes.
Right there. Which would probably be the end of the story, right? Because if you own that land or you own that house and you have a squatter, you would think all you would have to do is go in, pull a gun on them, and run them off.
Right.
Right?
Or more peacefully, ask them to leave.
Yeah, squatters don't usually... I think somebody who leaves if you ask them to was just crashing at that place.
Right.
A squatter is one who just says, no.
Right.
I'm not moving.
Well, you would think it'd be that cut and dry, but it's actually not that cut and dry, because
no.
squatters can actually are protected in certain ways.
Yeah. There's this thing called, there's property rights, the right of a landowner or a homeowner, right?
Right.
There's also tenants' rights.
Yes.
Where if you rent, like I do, I can't just be kicked out of my house because the landlord got sick of me. There's a lease. There's a
right.
there's a contractual obligation. There's laws that guide that along. The thing is in, I think, every state, these same rights are extended to squatters.
Mm-hmm,
and a tenant right actually kicks in Georgia after 3 days.
Really?
Yeah. So if you have an annoying house guest over for a long weekend,
uh-huh.
at the end of the 3 days, if they don't feel like moving, you got a problem on your hands.
Yeah. That's why I refuse to have any house guests for longer than 2 days.
Yeah.
That's the house rule.
It's just a good policy. It's a mm-hmm. good rule of thumb, right?
2 days and you're out.
So, all right. We've got property rights. We have tenants' rights. And basically, as an extension of the tenants' rights, there's also this thing called adverse possession.
Right.
Which is the ultimate nightmare of somebody who has a squatter.
Right. We heard a little bit back from fans about, when we did our guerrilla gardening podcast,
mm-hmm.
about someone beautifying, like a strip of public land.
Right.
Potentially that could lead to, adverse possession. So that's a reason that someone might not want that.
Yeah. I think, the technical definition of adverse possession is, living openly, continuously, and hostily.
Yeah.
And hostily isn't like you're chasing, little kids around your yard with a stick. It's you're not moving if they ask you to.
Well, yeah. And it means you don't have permission.
Right. you have to live there for a set period, right?
Right.
And that's usually state by state. In California, if you can do that for 5 years, you own the property.
Right.
In West Virginia, it's 10. In Texas, it's 30. But I think every state, again, has a rule of adverse possession.
They do.
So basically, if you live there, if you are, especially if you're keeping the place up, that kind of thing, and people know you're living there, once that time period comes up, you can go pay the property taxes, and that's yours.
Right. That's the key, though, I think, is the property taxes.
Right.
I think that makes it official.
I imagine that that almost never happens, that adverse possession takes place, right?
You think?
Well, I mean, in this day and age, with this many people crawling on the planet, you know, land is, it's important. It's expensive, right?
Well, I'm gunning for it. Is it time for my squatting story?
Yeah, please.
I'm a squatter, Josh.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Remember
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, are you sure you want to talk about this, Chuck?
Yeah, because no one knows where I live. My house that I bought has a little strip of land behind it, very small strip of land, about 100 feet by 40 feet, I would say. Mm-hmm. And the previous owner of the home had that sectioned off for some reason. And it's technically separate from my property.
Right.
We never heard from this guy, and we moved in, and that's half of that strip of land is most of my backyard. So Emily and I decided that, you know, we're just going to put our fence up, put our privacy fence up, plant grass, and, you know, claim possession of this land. If we never hear from this guy, we checked with the county, and there were years of back taxes owed on it that he clearly abandoned. He thought he could build something on it, but there's not enough room. You have to have variances, be a certain amount from the curb and all that to build something. So he couldn't build anything on it and basically just kind of dumped it. So we have claimed it as our own, and we've been in the house for, I think, 3 years now.
Have you been living hostily?
We have been living very hostily.
What's the time limit in Georgia? Do you know?
I'm not positive. I believe it's 7 years, but we need to look that up for sure. And we've also been in touch with the county about the back taxes. Still haven't been paid. And when it comes time, we're going to pay the taxes and claim it as our own.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Keep living the dream, Chuck. Keep fighting the good fight, right?
Keep squatting.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And there, in addition to living continuously, openly, and hostily, right? There's actually some steps that a squatter can take to basically lay claim on a place, right?
Right.
If you're keeping a place up, if you clean it up, maybe plant some shrubs,
like we did,
something like that. Yeah,
planted grass.
You're laying claim on the place, and you're also showing that it's actually it's doing better in your possession, whether you really own it or not.
Right.
Which goes a long way too. But let's say you move into a place, you throw up some curtains, plant a couple of bushes, maybe you borrow a lawnmower from a friend with a house and you cut the lawn, something like that.
Right.
And, you've set up house, right? One of the first things you can expect is a visit from the cops.
Right.
Because if you live in a neighborhood and a house has been empty and all of a sudden there's somebody living in it, especially somebody who dries their shirts on a clothesline out front, they're going to take notice and they're going to call the cops on you.
True. But there's not a lot a cop can do, though.
No, there's not. This is, if you can prove tenant rights, mm-hmm. that you are staying there, whether you're supposed to be or not, right?
Right.
One good way to do this is to go to the utility company and ask to have the power turned on.
Right.
And start paying a power bill there.
Which you can
put
do
it in
pretty
your
easily.
Name.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to prove ownership. I never have had to.
I haven't either.
You just go and set up an account,
mm-hmm.
start paying, and then you have bills that are coming in your name to that address.
Right.
If the cops show up to your house, you get to show them this and they say, good enough for me. And what you've just done is shifted the burden of proof that you're not supposed to be there from you, the squatter, to the landlord.
Right. And it's
which
now
is a huge headache for a landlord.
Right. And it becomes a civil matter.
It is a civil matter. The cops are immediately taken out of the equation.
Indeed.
I have to tell you, when I first researched this article, I was very much gung-ho, like, squatters' rights. Let's, you know, put the homeless in homes, and I get that. Like, I still feel that.
Right.
But I was kind of brought down to earth a little bit when I interviewed our COO, Mike Cascone.
Yes.
Who actually had a long, harrowing story with a squatter.
Yeah. Really fascinating.
He had, like, a rental place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he had a tenant that had a lease, and the lease came up, and the tenant moved out. But the tenant had a friend staying there, and the friend didn't move out. And she said, I'm not moving. Sorry, bud.
Right.
And so Cascone says that when you think all the things that you can do to get rid of somebody who's a squatter,
uh-huh.
you can't do.
Right.
Like, you can't turn off the power.
Right.
You can't turn off the water. You basically have to make sure that they're comfortable and safe.
Right. You can actually get fined.
In your place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get big time fined.
Right.
And he also said he spent, you know, several $1,000s in court fees and you know, things like, having subpoenas delivered, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff, and missed work. Getting this person out of his place.
Right. And good luck getting, you know, a refund on anything like that.
Right.
Or getting the squatter to pay you back.
Right. Yeah, yeah, no. I don't think she had much money.
No. That's why she was squatting.
Yeah. So that was, that kind of changed my attitude a little bit. At the very least, now I see it from both sides.
Uh-huh.
You know, because there is a victim in it, even though when you're talking about putting the homeless in housing, it's kind of tough to see it that way, but there definitely is.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Well, how to get a squatter out?
Yeah, tell me.
Well, I think there are legal avenues that you need to go through if you're a landlord.
Right.
Which does not include, like we said, turning off the water and power, because you can get in trouble for that.
Right. If you're a landlord, you can basically, you need to call an attorney if you have a squatter. Don't make a move. Just say, I'd like you to get out. They say no. You say, to be continued. And go get a lawyer.
Okay.
But the landlord, that's tough, you know, that you usually, if you're an individual landlord, you don't have, you know, vast resources. So the great enemy of the common squatter is gentrification, urban renewal, because all of a sudden you have developers in the equation.
Right.
And developers tend to have much deeper pockets and possibly fewer scruples.
Right.
Than the individual landlord. There's actually a squat, a house that was being squatted in, down the street from me.
Really?
A couple of years back. Yeah, it was bad. And one day it wasn't there anymore.
So tore it down.
The guy just tore it down.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The developer did?
Yeah. Yeah.
And waited till the person was out of the house or just showed up with a bulldozer?
I don't know. I've seen a couple of people who were squatting in the house walking around since then. So I guess
right.
he gave them a chance to get out, but the house isn't there anymore.
Interesting.
Which is really kind of cynical, a little sour, I should say, because now it's just an empty piece of land.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess he really didn't want people staying in his house.
Yeah. So he sent the wrecking ball through.
Right. And so urban renewal in general, once you have the presence of developers, but not just developers, you know, upwardly mobile people who really don't want squatters hanging around and bringing property values back down, right?
Right.
So if you're a squatter, you're in trouble once a place gets tapped for, you know, gentrification.
Right. And I would guess, and this is a generalization, but that most people that move and squat into a place that's abandoned probably don't do massive improvements in.
No.
You know, it's probably not that kind of situation.
No, I can tell you the squat down the street for me was not the case.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I am in an area that's being gentrified as we speak, right?
Uh-huh.
And apparently Geneva, Switzerland, went through a similar thing. In the 90s, there was a group called Rhino, and they were basically political activist squatters.
Right.
And at its peak, this group held 150 apartment buildings. Apartment buildings, not apartment units, in the city. And all of a sudden, there's this urban renewal movement that comes through Geneva. And by 2007, they had like 27, which is still a substantial amount of apartment buildings. But compared to 150, you can see once an area is targeted like this, then there's nothing you can do.
Right.
Basically, you have to move out to the sticks.
Sure. They've also done this in London and Denmark, just to name a couple.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, squatting can be good to some extent.
How's that?
Okay, so there's this Peruvian economist. His name is Hernando de Soto.
Very nice.
Thank you. And he created what he called a roadmap to wealth. Uh-huh. And it was specifically designed for post-Soviet former satellite countries,
right,
that were making the transition from communism to the free market. And one of the facets of this, one of the major parts of it, was that squatters on rural land, the rural poor who were just like living on land and shanties and that kind of thing.
Right.
Their land, the land that they were squatting on, should be parceled up, and they should go register it. And then by being landowners, they would have credit available to them, which should conceivably get the economy going.
Right. Interesting theory. And
it's unproven, but it's actually being tried in a country called Pridnestrovi,
uh-huh,
which is an unrecognized nation that used to formerly be part of Moldova.
Interesting.
So we'll see if it happens.
Right. See if they get their seat at the UN.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll see. Only time will tell. And if they do, you can bet that it's going to be because of Hernando de Soto.
Right.
And they'll probably put him on some sort of currency.
Yeah, probably. Or a statue, at least.
So that's squatting, right, Chuck?
Squatting. I will continue to squat. And maybe in a few years, if we're still doing this podcast, then I'll let everyone know how it went.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how this goes.
Yeah,
I hope you didn't just out yourself.
I don't think so.
Okay, good. So, you got anything else you want to get something off your chest, maybe? Maybe a little listener mail? All right, let's hear it.
Josh, this comes to us, and I'm not going to read this person's name because it's slightly sensitive. We'll just say that the name starts with a G. And G wrote us about the Delta Force podcast. And here's what G had.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
Here's what G had to say. The podcast reminded me of a friend I used to have at work. When Ronald Reagan started doing his war on drugs, my friend, let's call him John, was removed from the military and sent on these black operations.
Mm-hmm.
An amount of money would be left in a safe deposit box in the Mark's area. And the Mark was someone he had to kill.
Yeah.
With a photo of the Mark and some other information. The Mark was usually a drug lord or a higher-up deemed too big of a threat. So John and his partner would use the money to buy local guns and supplies, then head out and snipe the person.
Wax him.
Yeah, wax him. And this is, this guy would tell these stories in the break room, evidently. He said it wasn't a one-day operation. They had to set up camp the night before and set up landmines around their camp. So anyone coming in would get tripped up by the landmine coming in trying to kill them. And he says, on countless occasions, he would hear an explosion, think an assassin was coming to kill him, only to find a shredded cow had happened upon the landmine.
Yeah.
And so
cows are always the innocent bystanders, aren't they?
So this is an amazing story, and I don't know if it's true, but I don't see no reason why this person would write in and make all this up. So it sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, G. That story is absolutely nuts. And if you have an amazing or harrowing tale of cows being blown up or people being greased, or you just want to say hi, you can send an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Childproofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.